Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to always pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for the people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts, fill our minds, guide us in this time, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever sought to gain access to an important or influential person? I was reflecting on this question, and my mind went back to my time on sabbatical in Oxford a summer before last. I was researching a particular movement within the Church of England called Fresh Expressions, and the professor who was guiding me in my research made a suggestion that surprised me. He suggested I reach out to one of the most prominent academics who had published critiques of Fresh Expressions, Martin Percy, and to see if he would meet with me. The reason that surprised me was because of the position Martin Percy holds at the University of Oxford. He is Dean of Christ Church. That's one of the largest, most prominent colleges of Oxford. Christ Church is frequently visited by tourists because of its remarkable architecture, and its alumni include 13 former British prime ministers, 17 archbishops, and the likes of John Locke, W.H. Auden, and Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland. But Christ Church is more than a prominent college in Oxford. It's also the cathedral of the Diocese of Oxford. And so as dean, Martin Percy's not only the head of the college, he's also dean of the cathedral. I can't even begin to imagine the demands that are on his time. As dean of the college, he has to manage the business, supervise the faculty, and lead the staff of the academic institution, while at the same time being dean of the cathedral, preaching regularly, leading the clergy and the ministries of that church that is at the center of the Diocese of Oxford. Percy's also published extensively and is often an outspoken critic in church affairs. A book has been written about his theology. He also happens to be the only living theologian that's named in Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, a dubious distinction. How could a person with such responsibility and notoriety have time to meet with a lowly pastor doing some research? However, I reached out, and Martin Percy did agree to meet with me, and it was really amazing to be talking about Fresh Expressions in the Dean's Office of Christ Church while sipping tea and looking out onto the beautiful college and cathedral just outside his window. I must say, he was incredibly gracious and down to earth, and as my professor knew he would be, very willing to meet and discuss. I would suspect that many of you have similar stories where you have sought and gained access with some important or influential person. Musicians and actors, for example, seek auditions for shows. Business people may appreciate an opportunity to talk with the CEO. and those passionate about some issue may seek to gain access to influential politicians. We seek an audience with an important person because we believe they can help us or because we want to influence them to take some action. This is the sixth sermon in our series entitled Treasure Hunting. After a break last week, we're considering again another treasure of the heart that's truly a gracious gift of God to us. These eternal treasures are easy to take for granted. Today we're focusing on treasuring knowing and being known in relationship to God. This theme actually emerges in all three readings today. Jeremiah prophesies about the day people will not marvel at knowing God, for all God's people will know him. The word in Hebrew for know implies intimate knowing, deep relationship. And so Jeremiah writes that a day will come in which people will no longer say to one another, "Know the Lord," for each one of God's people will know him and even have his law written upon their hearts. Then in Paul's second letter to Timothy, we read about how God has inspired the scriptures. He writes, "All scripture literally is God-breathed, God-spirited. God has breathed his life, his spirit, into the words of the Bible so that they connect us to God." God can use the Bible to teach, train, equip us to do the things he calls us to do. The idea is not unique to Paul. Throughout the Bible, we read how God wants to be known. And so he speaks, and his words, the words of his son Jesus, have been written down. We have in the Bible a means to know God, to hear him speak into our lives, to communicate his love, reassurance, correction, guidance, and inspiration. And then we have yet another provocative parable of Jesus. This time we have a judge who neither fears God nor respects people, and a widow. Widow being one of the most vulnerable, helpless, and needy in the ancient world. And she's seeking justice from the judge on her behalf. And the judge ignores her. And so she keeps on pestering the judge until finally he grants her request. Not because he's a good judge, but so that she'll stop nagging him. Clearly the point of the parable is not that God is reluctant to hear and grant our prayers. Nor is it that we should tirelessly pester God. Rather, it's a common rhetorical device of the ancient world. The argument from the lesser to the greater. If an unjust judge will do that for a persistent widow, how much more will God delight in hearing and answering our prayers? We simply must have faith. We must not lose heart when the answer is slow in coming, for God hears and is responding even though we may not see it or understand it. We must wait patiently in faith. And that raises the question about prayer. Why does God want us to keep praying for things? Why does he want us to keep praying and not give up, even when it seems that we're not getting an answer? This has to do with the nature of prayer. We tend to think about prayer as a means to get God to do what we want. We pray for things and ask for things and things we think we need or we think will be good for us. And sometimes we view prayer as a means even to tell God what to do. Prayer can almost be viewed like magic, manipulating God into acting. If we just pray enough, or we just pray the right words, we hope God will grant our request. But when we think like this, we're missing the point of prayer. Prayer is not there for us to simply get what we want. Prayer is a means for us to be in conversation with God. It is a way for us to know God. And that's why we keep on praying. Because the reason for prayer is that we grow in relationship to God. In her book, Prayer and Listening, Jan Johnson wrote, "We look upon prayer simply as a means of getting things for ourselves, but the biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God himself." In prayer, it's like we're a child crawling into a loving father's lap. The child may ask for something, or the child may just want to be near the strong, loving, reassuring presence of the Father. So too in prayer, we may ask for things, but we must also treasure the time, treasure the privilege, treasure the moments when we become more fully aware that we are conversing with God, that we are in the presence of God. We listen in prayer and we observe the answers. We pray in faith, trusting even when the answer seems to be no, believing that God is at work in the situation, even when we don't understand. Since we don't always know what to ask, we trust that quite often the no, the rejection, is God's protection. Talk about access to an important and influential person. In prayer, we have access to the throne room of heaven. We have the ear of the Lord of the universe. And he doesn't just grant us a few minutes as a distracted observer. He cherishes us as his children, as the perfect loving Father. God delights in having his children talk with him. Understanding prayer this way can be revolutionary in our lives. It can be freeing. It can relieve pressures and lift stresses that we feel. In knowing God through prayer, we can discover that peace of God, which passes all understanding. We can experience that, as Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But you might be thinking, how can I pray more? I already have too much to do. I know, we're busy people, busy with activities in our life, our lives. Our youth have many extracurriculars, activities, and studies. As adults, we're often trying to get further along in education or adding job skills, or we may be caring for aging parents or parenting our own children. We work hard to earn a living. We try to volunteer and help out as we can. Life is so full these days with all that we're doing. When do we have time to pray? I'd like to ask you to consider two things in response to that. First, one takeaway this morning is to change the way we do the things we're already doing. The message today is about treasuring our relationship with God. You can do that as you go about your day. Prayer is communication, and we know that communication is key to a healthy relationship. This doesn't mean you have to withdraw from the world for hours upon hours to pray. This is about how we do the things we do. Do we pray as we go about our day, seeking God in our activities and moments? This kind of prayer has been called practicing the presence of God. It's like when a person is newly in love. They might not be thinking about the one they love at every single moment, like during an important business meeting, and yet the love they have for that person will permeate everything they do. Perhaps at times even under the surface, at a deep subconscious level, they'll feel that love and connection. Prayer can be like that. One way to pray is to practice the presence of God in a kind of silent, unspoken way throughout the day. We also pray throughout the day, speaking to God in our prayers, to our loving Heavenly Father about what we're doing. Through this kind of prayer, we can grow deeply in our realization that God is near us, within us. Through such prayer, we can come to treasure knowing God in relationship. A second, so consider prayer not simply as a means to get something, but as a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, then we're going to want to spend more time devoted to prayer with him. This is because we come to experience such time with God as refreshing, as uplifting, a time that fills us with peace. Understood this way, prayer is sought after, it's longed for. We long to spend that time in prayer. It's like so many other things we do in life. So, for example, even when my team is losing, I like to watch football. So I don't say, oh, drat, now I have to go sit in front of the TV with a beer and watch the game. Oh, I have so many other things to do. There's too much on my list. I don't want to do this. No, I love football because I enjoy it. I find it relaxing. It gives me a break from the demands of ministry. This could be true for you in many things. It could be golf, tennis, walking, reading, whatever it is you like to do. Prayer for us should be like that. Time to cherish. Time to look forward to. Because it will uplift and renew us. Knowing God through prayer can bring about four results in my life. Prayer makes my life easier, exciting, meaningful, and it helps me understand my identity. Knowing God through prayer first makes my life easier because I'm giving the things I struggle with that weigh me down over to God, and he lifts them from me. Jesus says my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I find personally that I feel lighter, lifted, eased as I pray about the things that concern me in this life. God intends us to share life with him, and when we do this, he will be with us and carry us through the challenges of life. Second, knowing God through prayer makes my life more exciting. As I see God moving in answer to prayer, as I hear him guiding, directing me, as I come to know him better, my faith grows and I'm excited and encouraged to see the supernatural at work in my life. Third, knowing God through prayer makes my life meaningful. God has created me for a purpose. He knows my gifts and abilities. He knows me better than I know myself. He has specific ways for me to serve him that contribute to the needs of others and make a difference in the world. God calls me into a relationship with him that helps me take the focus off of myself. And four, knowing God through prayer helps me understand who I am, my identity. In relationship to God, I know who I am. Principally, I am a loved and cherished child of the King of the universe. God cherishes you as his precious child. That is who you are. You are an immensely capable, creative, powerful being who is both physical and spiritual, who has been made in the very likeness of God, who is created to love. You are connected to God because his Holy Spirit dwells within you. This is an amazing truth to cherish. Pursuing relationship with God, treasuring that we are known and can know God, can be transformative for our lives. I close with this illustration, this analogy that came to me years ago as I was reflecting on prayer. Imagine, if you will, your life like mining. Every day, all the things you do, all the activities, the burdens, the stresses, those anxiety-producing things in life, all those things you do like mining. It's as if every day you go to the mine, into the darkness, and you're pawing through the soil by hand. You're looking for those life-giving nuggets of gold, those treasures of moments when life is good and uplifting and it all seems worthwhile. But so much of the busyness of life feels like pawing through the dirt by hand in the dark. But as it turns out, every day as you go to the mine, you pass a tool shed, and in the tool shed is a lantern to give you light in the mine. And there are tools. There are picks, axes, shovels, metal detectors, even power tools. Bathing your life in prayer, seeking the presence of God in prayer, is like stopping at the tool shed of life. Everything you need to find those life-giving nuggets that God intends you to find, everything you need is right there at the tool shed of prayer. He wants to give them to you. He wants you to ask. He wants you to stop at the tool shed every day. And why does he do this? Why doesn't he just put the tools in the mine for you? He set it up this way because he is at the tool shed and he wants to talk to you. He wants you. He wants to draw you close to the tool shed where you'll be in conversation with him because he loves talking to you. He loves hearing what's going on in your heart, what's going on in the mind of your life, what's good and bad and troubling. He wants you to decide to come to the tool shed because he wants you to choose to seek him. As you do more and more, you'll find those talks with him refreshing. And the tools, the realization that God's in the mind with you, the answers to prayer, the difference that prayer makes amidst the things you do, you'll find these to be life-giving. This is prayer. Just as the tools are life-giving in the mind of life, knowing God in relationship through prayer lightens and enlivens our lives. What a treasure we have in knowing and being known by the Lord of the universe. As we seek him more and more, we will discover who he made us to be, and in its purest, most overwhelmingly awe-inspiring sense, we will discover the love of the universe. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.